right to the air, and the pass is caught by Nelson Agholor. Bowles flushed out, keeps his eyes downfield, and completes it to Alshon Jeffrey. Bowles, deep in the pocket, fires downfield, and that is hauled in at the 38-yard line. From the 38-yard line. Again, the RPO, and the pass is caught by Ertz. That falls into the lineup. Second down and three, and this time they hand it to Ajayi on an inside run, right in the red zone. Second down and four, a little flip out here to Corey Clement. And Clement gets inside the 10 and sets up a first down and goal. That's Ertz back and forth. Off play action to the back of the end zone and broken up there by Rowe. Just got hurt opening day. 25-yard attempt is good.
I tell you what, that was some game, Dr. Nagel.
Oh, it was very, very enjoyable. Even if you were, you know, not caring or didn't really have any interest in either the Eagles or the Patriots, it was a wonderful Super Bowl to watch because it kind of held your attention all the way to the end.
That's a good point. And that's that was it. It held your attention to the end. You know, you and I were talking about this previously when we were mentioning the game between Atlanta and Tom Brady and company, where it just seems so obvious to me, Doctor, that those last few minutes of the second quarter, Atlanta just stopped playing. They had the game sewn up. The lead was so big. Those last few minutes, they were just running at half speed. And when they came back out the beginning of the first half, they played the game the same way they played the last few minutes of that second quarter. They never truly fully got back in the game. Philly didn't make that mistake.
Yeah, I think Philly had a really good game plan. And I think the other thing that happened is that they were able to make some adjustments at halftime, kind of like what you were talking about with Atlanta. Atlanta got a big lead, and you know, I don't necessarily think that Atlanta choked that game away. I think more what happened is Tom Brady got hot and there was some weird things that happened, and turnovers are always helpful. But, you know, what seemed to happen with the Philadelphia game is they got the lead, they went to halftime, and kind of where you were expecting Brady to turn the magical switch and become unstoppable, he did turn the magical switch and become almost unstoppable in the second half. But what the difference was is that Philly's offense was able to continue to sustain, not quite at the same level, but they were able to keep making some drives and putting points on the board. And, you know, even though Brady was nearly flawless, the fact that the Eagles offense in the second half scored enough points to prevent Brady from really being able to pull it out another Super Bowl.
And I tell you what, it's so, so impressive on both sides. And like you said, though, Philly was able to keep their heads in the game, keep their emotions in the game. They didn't allow anything to discourage them. Because, you know, even though for much of the game they had the lead, you know, they had to go in there thinking, okay, we know this New England team. And they could have been intimidated by that, but they kept playing their game.
It's going to be really interesting to see what the Patriots do in the offseason because, you know, the last few years they've had phenomenal offense, and then their defense has been okay. You know, this year they had a phenomenal offense, and their defense, particularly against the pass, was not very good at all. And I think kind of where a lot of America was expecting in that Eagles Super Bowl was, okay, Brady's going to turn it on in the third and fourth quarter, and he did, and he was phenomenal in the second half. But the flip side of that was the New England defense couldn't do much to stop the Eagles from also scoring. And so I think, you know, Brady can only do so much. I think the New England defense, it would be interesting to see how Belichick approaches the offseason with the draft and with trades and with free agent signings, because I think their defense definitely is, it doesn't have to be great because Brady is phenomenal, but it does have to be at least somewhat of a resisting force to another opposing team's offense.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, because one half of the team cannot do it all, at least not all the time. Now, I'm curious, what was going on? What is the story behind Brady's okay start but phenomenal finishes? Why doesn't he start the first half the way he starts that second half, more consistently?
Well, I think if I knew that exact answer, or if Bill Belichick knew that exact answer, you know, that would be kind of a magic elixir that, you know, I think that's part of sports. I mean, some people start slow, some people start fast. I, I think part of it with the Patriots, what they've done very, very successfully is in the first half, they've tried not to lose games. And so their offense in some cases in these Super Bowls has come out and it looks a little sluggish, but I think part of it is they're playing it close to the vest. They don't want to create a lot of turnovers for the defense. They want to make sure they get into a rhythm. And then what they've done so well, you know, and they did this well in this game, is in this Super Bowl, is they go into halftime and they make unbelievable adjustments, and then they come out like a buzzsaw and are unstoppable. I think they played that script the same way this year as they've done a few other times in the Super Bowl. It's just their defense couldn't stop Philadelphia from not, you know, from keeping that lead. You know, in the Atlanta game, Atlanta got the lead, and then Atlanta's offense kind of fell apart.
Yes, sir.
And wasn't able to score. And so Brady could do his thing and come back. This year, Brady did his thing and came back, but the hill was too large because, you know, Foles and the Eagles' offense kept scoring.
Mm-hmm. So they pulled it off. Philly pulled it off. Just before we talk about NFL's coming season, could you talk with us a little bit about the business end, again, of what's happening with the Super Bowl?
Well, I think the Super Bowl is very interesting because, as we were talking about before, and in the fragmented, the shattering viewership for everything, sports, non-sports, and so forth, everything has become niche marketing. The Super Bowl is one of the few things that's left in the American calendar that will draw in super fans of the NFL, casual fans of the NFL, non-fans of the NFL. In many ways, it's become one of our biggest holidays. You know, it's not an official holiday, mm-hmm. but I think the Super Bowl has become so big in the hearts and minds of America that it's you know, it's a circle the calendar type of day. And so I think a lot of these other things we've talked about with the Olympics or even with the NBA or Major League Baseball, you know, the NFL, I think, is really holding out hope that they can keep that Super Bowl prominent in the American culture to the point that everybody still tunes in. And not only tunes in, but, you know, gathers around at parties and with their family and friends, and also doesn't just watch the game, but actually watches the commercials as well, which I think is a critical part of, you know, the Super Bowl revenue model is you can basically sell commercials and say, hey, not only are, you know, 50 million people going to watch the game, but most of those people are also not going to go to the bathroom. They're not going to leave their seat during the commercials. They're going to want to see what creative commercials you come up with. So I think it's a very unique sport property in American culture that certainly the NFL is going to try to maintain.
And you mentioned the commercials. I wanted to ask you if it seems like that is working for a lot of the companies that advertise during the Super Bowl.
Well, I think the answer is yes, and I think this is another thing that's happened in advertising in general and certainly applies to Super Bowl advertising. 10 years ago, 20 years ago, advertising was designed in many cases to either inform or to make a humorous approach or, you know, but essentially you were trying to drive, you know, market share and trying to drive attention to your product just through the ad. With the internet now, and there's so much that's going on together. So I run an ad on the Super Bowl, and then the idea with that ad is yeah, we'd like people to buy more of our product, but we want them to continue the story, for lack of a better term. We want them to go to our webpage and see the next part of the commercial or see the next evolution. And so you're almost, in many cases, in the advertising world, and a lot of companies use the Super Bowl as the first phase of the ad that they want to show, because so many people are watching, and it's like, hey, go watch the second ad. Go watch the story arc of all these ads that we're going to run, some on the Super Bowl, but some on our website. So advertising in that regard has changed because you're able to use a commercial now to spearhead movement of people to your website where there may be more ads or there may be more stories to tell. It's not like the old days pre-internet where I ran an ad and I hope people would buy more Coke or more Budweiser or more whatever. Now it's, I want to drive people to my website where I can certainly sell them more product, but also get them to consume more of the commercial spots that I've created.
I appreciate you for pointing that out. Ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be more about sports in just a few. Stay with us. Dr. Nagel, giving us the insights on sports and the business of sports right here on WTHB 1550 AM, speaking with Carl Thornton Jr.